You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Alberta's number one online casino and sportsbook, where an Albertan wins $10,000 or more every 6 minutes. That's 10 times every hour, 240 times a day. Pretty good odds. Get started at PlayAlberta.ca.
The cuts coming in earlier today. First question for you. Any surprises when it comes to players that you thought might make the squad and all of a sudden potentially practice squad instead?
I thought Tony Jefferson was a surprise cut. This is somebody who they got out of retirement, essentially. He was working as a scout in Baltimore last year when the Chargers called him and say, hey, we need some help at safety. He came over and was an instant veteran presence in that locker room, 11 seasons in the league, and had made great strides in the offseason, his first full year back. Because he was kind of called off the couch, he didn't really have time to get up to speed, get up and running last season as much as he had the full offseason this time around. And, you know, just sparkled and flashed in preseason. So that was kind of a shock, but not really when you think about how deep that safety room is for the Chargers. It's really nice to have everybody healthy going into week one. Three veteran starters without Tony Jefferson. So that was a surprise, but more of a inside the building surprise, I guess you could say. Everything else was what you expected. You know, I guess the other big name was Brendan Rice, of course, Jerry Rice's son. But he also didn't see a lot of action. He played last year. He played at times on the practice squad. Didn't get a lot of action in preseason, targeted a couple times, no big catches, no big splashes, lined up on the wrong side a couple times. So he was cut as well.
Do you think both those players could be potential practice squad additions, or you think they'll maybe try a different team?
I mean, anything's possible. You don't know what other teams, there's 31 other teams that have different needs. And I think Tony Jefferson may not clear waivers. You know, he's the kind of guy that a lot of teams would look to pick up with the presence and the physicality at this point, even after 11 years.
Now, just looking in the backfield, obviously, Omer and Hampton was selected first overall, and I think teams are going to get a heavy dose of him. But good news for the Chargers, Najee Harris, looks like he's going to be good to go after that July 4th fireworks incident.
They have been very mum about the backfield. And if you know Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, you know that the run game is very important to these two guys. And that is something that lacked last season. Kind of expected. It was running by committee is what it was. And nobody really emerged. And this year, they're looking for that, sorry for lack of a better term, thunder and lightning with Najee Harris and Omarion Hampton. And that's what they've got, according to people in the know. Like I said, it's been very hush-hush. We know that Najee Harris, a perennial 1,000-yard rusher there in Pittsburgh, super reliable, comes over. He is going to be the lead back. And July 4th decides that he is going to take a firecracker to the eye. Now, it's been called a superficial injury, but he has been on the sidelines. Just last week was his first time at camp, kind of working off to the side, doing some individual drills. So it wasn't just cosmetic, Connor. There was a major injury to his eye, but the great news this week is that they're looking at him to be ready to go week one. He's one of the most reliable backs or player, period, in the NFL. I mean, he has started every game since he was drafted, so that'll be a great help. I'm super excited to see what that run game looks like.
We're looking at the LA Chargers with their sideline reporter Shannon Farron here on the Jason Greger Show. Connor Halley sitting in. I want to ask you about Keenan Allen as well. Obviously, we know he didn't want to take the pay cut last year, decided not to, and well within his right, the contract was signed, goes to the Chicago Bears for 1 year, but ends up back with the Chargers. What do you think of the combination he and Ladd McConkey will provide for Justin Herbert?
Well, first of all, general manager Joe Ortiz, they call him Chef Ortiz here in LA, and this is one reason. I mean, Keenan Allen goes to Chicago, they get a draft pick, they take Ladd McConkey, who ends up setting all the records on fire, including Keenan Allen's franchise rookie records here in Los Angeles. Set the records for that playoff game in Houston, which we don't like to talk about here. It was not a good game. Justin Herbert, 4 interceptions. Houston hobbled into that game and still were able to beat them in that playoff round. But Ladd McConkey that day had a day. I mean, he set receptions for a rookie reception record, I believe, for the entire league for a rookie in a playoff game. So you kind of forget about Ladd McConkey, and you shouldn't. He and Justin Herbert have the best chemistry. One of the best you know, one of the best duos in the NFL right now, and they put it on tape last season. You bring Keenan Allen back now, and you just have another third down threat there. Now, Keenan Allen, he's older as well. He's got to get in shape here. But, I mean, with Ladd and Keenan, and that was another problem in Houston. Our wide receiver room had been depleted, injured, a mess. And they brought in two guys in the draft with Trey Harris, Keandre Lambert-Smith, who both looked stellar at camp and in preseason. So you're looking at two rookie wide receivers that are going to make the highlight reel.
Do have to ask about Quentin Johnson. I know there's been improvements in his game, and statistically he found the end zone a few more times, but there were still some big drops in key situations. How has he looked at camp?
Q is great. Q is unfazed by all that. One of the nicest guys, a very hardworking player. Nobody beats himself up more than Q. He remains a deep physical threat. Count him out. That's what they're hoping for. Count him out. Follow the memes. Follow the few drops that he had. And count him out, because you leave him one-on-one and you're going to have real problems.
Now, on the defensive side of the football, Joey Bosa leaves, but they still do have Khalil Mack, a veteran of the game, been in the league for a long time, but not really showing too many signs of falling off.
Khalil Mack, I'm told, could have his best year. I know. I talked to him about it during preseason. I said, did I read this correctly? Did you have three sacks back-to-back-to-back at camp on Thursday? Was one of those a strip sack? You know, like, is this going on? Is this happening? And that's just Khalil Mack. You know, the coaches will tell you that their hardest workers on this team are their biggest stars, Khalil Mack among them. So he puts in the work. He prides himself on being ready and having no drop off. And he is a great leader in that room. He has really taken a couple of the young guys, and their power and their talent has just grown exponentially in the time that he's been here in Los Angeles.
We're taking a look at the Chargers with Shannon Farron, sideline reporter for the organization. And I do want to ask you, you know, his counterpart now, Joey Bosa leaves. Now you've got Tuli Tuipulotu, who in the past, I feel like, he was taken on double teams so other guys could get home. Is he someone you're expecting to have a breakout season?
Yeah, he's taking more of a leadership role this season. Like, he's one of the guys, I would say, has exponentially grown. He shows no signs of being one of the young guys on the team anymore. He was one of the really quick learners that Khalil Mack took under his wing. They were inseparable on the sideline in terms of Tuli wanting to learn and learning different matchups. And they play differently. They use different they play differently, I'll just say that. They, like Joey and Khalil did as well, kind of different styles. And that just added to how great they worked. They were able to understand how each had different mechanics and particulars there.
Now, just a couple more for you, Shannon. Really appreciate your time here. Justin Herbert, under center last year. Like you said, the playoff game wasn't fantastic, but during the regular season, only three interceptions. Ball security was really good, and it looked like he took some steps with Jim Harbaugh. What are the expectations for this year with those new receivers that you mentioned coming out of the draft?
I think there's no mistake about it. He has the weight of the world on his shoulders, Justin Herbert does. Is it fair? No. But is it time? Yes. They believe that they have built the offensive line. Losing Rashawn Slater was awful, but it's a next guy up league, next guy up room, and that's just what happens in the NFL. That is a strong offensive line. Even with the next guy up situation they find themselves in, Joe Alt moving over to left guard where he played at Notre Dame the majority of the time. There's nothing new there for him. And they do have what they're calling the thunder and lightning approach. They're not calling it, but some people are calling it down there on the sidelines with Najee Harris and Omarion Hampton. If Justin has help in the backfield, if he's not forced to do too much, he can do what makes him great. It's kind of the same thing with Derwin James on defense. When Jesse Minter came in with his Michigan defense, you were allowing Derwin to play closer to the line of scrimmage, which was allowing Derwin James to do what he does best. Similarly, on the other side of the ball, you give Justin Herbert some reliable targets there at wide receiver. You give him a run game to rely on, and you're going to see the Justin Herbert that everyone's projected to be top five quarterback in the league.
Now, just Shannon, one more question for you. Jim Harbaugh, one of the most interesting personalities in the NFL. Do you have a favorite Harbaugh story?
Oh, there are so many. Well, I'll tell you a personal one. We were in Cleveland, staying in Cleveland for the Hall of Fame game. And this is obviously the first game of the season, and everyone's raring to go. And we're staying in Cleveland. Of course, the game's in Canton at the Hall of Fame. And we're just getting into the hotel, and the whole team's staying on the 11th floor. And I would go downstairs, dropping off our bags and stuff, going downstairs to get something to eat or something like that. And I see Jim Harbaugh, and he's at the elevator bank. And I say to him, "What, you're not gonna take the stairs?" And he looks around, like, "Oh my gosh, where are they?" You know, I mean, like, he is 110% intensity, and I should know better than to make a joke like that with him. But he is at 110 or 150 all the time. But I think that the best Harbaugh-ism is that he was, you know, he remembers the day he was born. he remembers that, and I won't go into specifics because, you know, it's dinner time. But he remembers the day he was born. He remembers shooting out and seeing that it was a snowy day, and he can go into detail about that. But the thing about Harbaugh is the guys play for him, and they play for him before the plane even lands. Everyone goes, "Well, is this the year that the Harbaugh culture sets in?" And I say, no, the Harbaugh culture set in before he was even in Los Angeles. And the coaches will tell you it's not something where people come in and Jim Harbaugh sits you down and tells you what's expected of you. It's just understood when you walk in the building that that's Harbaugh's building. And he is the biggest star on that field. He gets more applause when he comes out of that tunnel than Justin Herbert does. So everyone knows who's the alpha out there.
Well, it should be a fun season for the Chargers. Going to be tough with the Chiefs and the Broncos, but hoping for the best for them. Shannon, thanks so much for doing this today.